Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, we got breaking news. There's wildfires raging all throughout Los Angeles, Ventura County. So we'll try to update you before we start our next show at noon.
That's right, and that is where people are really being impacted. So many travelers coming northbound and southbound running into this fire, which suddenly erupted in the Rye Canyon area, and that is just east of the 5 freeway. And if you don't know where it is, I can tell you, if you approach the 126, the Rye Canyon Road is kind of the eastern arm of the 126. There is a huge business park here, but as we just reported, the I-5 is closed northbound and southbound in Santa Clarita. You can go no further than Magic Mountain Parkway as you're traveling north, and no further south than Hasley Canyon if you're coming southbound. Take a look at this right now. It took quite a while for CHP to clear this area. All the trucks, all the backup, this main corridor going north and southbound was just locked in, gridlocked. Some of the drivers were trying to do U-turns here. They finally opened up part of the center divider, and here comes another truck right now. So that the traffic could be evacuated from this part of the freeway. The southbound is closed. We see traffic coming off the 126 going southbound on the freeway. But the big billowing smoke and the hazard in going eastbound on that on Rye Canyon is clearly a dangerous part of this area. And so CHP is keeping all the motorists off this area. So as you can see, very, very gusty conditions here on the I-5. Not a day to be going out traveling on the 5 right now. And this is the way it's going to be until the situation stabilizes, until the fire is contained or at least away from this area. So for now, reporting live from Santa Clarita, Miriam Hernandez, ABC7. Eyewitness News, now back to you.
Miriam, thank you very much for that. Of course, many traffic alerts because of all of this. We're going to go to Kimmy Evans, and she's got that traffic for us. Kimmy.
All right. Thanks so much, Leslie. This is what things are looking like right now. Obviously, we have your typical LA traffic, but let's take a look at the Creek Fire and the Rye Fire so you can see where those are. That Creek Fire and Cagle Canyon. So we have a lot of closures there. The 210 freeway is closed from the 5 to the Sunland off-ramp, so you certainly want to stay away from that 210 freeway. Also, the 210 at the 118 is closed. And due to the Rye Fire, the northbound 5 is closed at Highway 126. So you definitely want to stay away from those areas. And as we move towards the Thomas Fire, the 33 is closed in both directions as well at Canada Large Road, backed up to Shell Road. So you can see that backup happening already there. So a lot of closures today with these fires. So you certainly want to stay away from all of these areas. Definitely that 210, not looking great at all at this time. So just be careful out there and try to plan ahead. All right, that's a quick look at your traffic. I'll send it back to you guys.
All right, Kimmy, thank you. That's the widespread impact on a lot of people and how these fires are affecting us all. Mm-hmm. But let's go to Brandy Hitt. She's with the Thomas Fire, and we can really get down into how individuals are being affected by this. And it's heartbreaking, Brandy.
It's devastating, Philip. And listening, we just found more homes that were destroyed. Brian, my photographer, and I just arrived on the scene, and look at these apartments here. North Kalorama at Tioga, you can see fire crews are just dousing this building right now with a massive water cannon, and they're drenching it. And I can show you why if we come up a little bit farther here. Brian's going to show you. This is the devastation in apartments. There's a better look. We're going to come up the hill. This is what happened to one of the buildings. I've never seen anything like this. You can tell it was a two- or three-story structure. When you look at all the damage inside, I can see stoves. I can see several ovens. I can see bathtubs, refrigerators, and just one giant pile of what used to be people's homes. Below, you can see evidence of patios, patio furniture, pots, what's left behind. And a lot of these families here in Ventura told us they had no idea that the fire would come up this hillside so quickly. But you can only imagine nobody's going to be able to go digging through that and find maybe something that might be valuable left behind. That is such a dangerous scene. Now let's go across the street here, and you can see where this fire came from. Look at this scorched hillside right across the way. is gone. It is just blackened earth. And as Brian pans across over on the
you serve as
one.
The helicopters and aircraft, so they've grounded them, at least in Ventura County. So why do we get these aerial views from our helicopter? It's because our helicopter is at a significantly higher altitude, about 4,000 feet and above in this case. So that's why Marcono has been able to give you pictures from Ventura County where some of the firefighting assets have not been able to launch and get involved in the fight as of this moment.
LA County aircraft is grounded, so we just got that information from our producer. And there was no fixed wing definitely for the Creek Fire, so we did see a helicopter, but no fixed wing. They said that did have to be grounded because of this weather. And, you know, as we've been watching this throughout the morning, and unfortunately we've heard from many of our authorities saying the conditions are just really unfortunate when it comes to stopping this and getting any kind of containment on it, at least, you know, within the next couple of hours. And as we've been talking about the fact that we have a red flag warning and high winds, that is expected for the next several days. I mean, there's going to be some give and some take. The winds will die. They'll kick back up again. But conditions really aren't expected to change. And that's unfortunate when you think about they really hope in the overnight hours when things cool down, they can get a handle on this or stop it at some point. But when you don't see conditions changing over the next few days, that becomes very disturbing. And the Governor Jerry Brown, just a few moments ago, did declare a state of emergency in Ventura County due to the Thomas Fire.
Mark Kriske has been with us for the past several hours. Mark, the question that all of these folks are wondering, and the firefighters, of course, is there any relief in sight with regard to this wind?
That's the major problem, as Jessica was saying, that no, there really isn't a relief from the winds. Normally, you get the strong winds maybe for a couple of hours in the morning, and then they die down by the afternoon. This is not the case. And once again, as we said, in various areas, the helicopters are unable to fly. Then later on, you're going to have the winds combined with nightfall, and that's even going to be worse. Usually during the night, fires have a tendency of dying down a little bit. They may die down a little bit, but the winds will be still extremely, extremely strong, and just the conditions are so dry, the fire probably won't lie down that much overnight tonight. And yes, those winds are continuing. We do have the fire warning until Thursday, 4 p.m. We do have some of the wind advisories on for most of today. And we're just looking at winds in these fire areas, 30, 40 to 45 miles an hour, gusts in excess of 60 to 70 miles an hour. And then the temperature will warm up tomorrow by about 7 or 8 degrees. We're going to be compared to today by Thursday, heading into Friday, 10 degrees warmer. We'll be in the 80s. And after that, 80s all the way through the weekend. Then another system and another setup for more Santa Ana winds might develop. So this is going to be a rough going.
Yeah, it sure is. And that's why we heard LAPD Chief Charlie Beck tell folks this is a multi-day event. We heard Mayor Eric Garcetti remind folks that red flag parking restrictions are in effect. Just because the fire is not in your neighborhood now, there's a chance it will be. And if you have a vehicle that is in a red flag parking restriction area, it'll be towed at some point, because they want to make sure that if fire does arrive in your neighborhood, that firefighting assets can get to the fire as quickly as possible. So just be aware of that. All of us need to show a little patience on days like these.
Yeah, also, if you're in the Creek Fire area, LAFD.org is where they have asked you to go if you need to know about evacuation centers. Centers that are currently open for the Creek Fire would be the Silmar Rec Center and Sunland Senior Center. Mayor Garcetti said they are ready to welcome you with open arms if you need to evacuate.
We want to bring in another reporter who is now joining our coverage. John Fanolio is in Ventura. John, tell us where you are and what are you seeing there?
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, we're just above Foothill Boulevard in the northern part of the hillside here in Ventura County, just above Foothill Boulevard. You can see by the looks of things out here, Mother Nature is in control. This is just one of many homes here that has been scorched. It's a total loss. And as my photographer, Brett, pans over, you can see that up and down the street, homes have been scorched by the Thomas Fire. We look across the street here, you can see that there's a car on fire, another house on fire. This firefight continues into the daylight hours. You can see some of the firefighters right there in that yard. Right now, they're just trying to chase these flames. They're trying to get ahead of the fire as best they can to put out hot spots, obviously evacuate people from their homes, and, of course, protect property. 4,500 acres burned, 150 homes destroyed so far. The wind is howling out here right now. 27,000 people forced to flee their homes, and as we've been reporting, one firefighter was injured, as reported by the fire department. With these ferocious winds, firefighters say all they can do, again, is just chase these flames, trying to get ahead of them. This is a defensive firefight right now. More than 8,000 homes evacuated, 20,000 people without power. This blaze, as you know, broke out yesterday evening and spread quickly. Firefighters right here, you're seeing them trying to put out these hot spots, trying to prevent these flames from spreading any further. Now, the big concern out here, of course, is these embers. And with winds like these hurricane-force wind gusts, that's over 72 miles per hour, it lifts these embers up, and it can carry them miles. And once those embers get into the eaves of these roofs, things like that, well, of course, that's when we see neighborhoods like we've been seeing from our aerial shots all day long, where you have one, two, three, four homes on fire. Other homes are unscathed. So firefighters are in the thick of it right now. And you can just see that this wind is insane right now. We're going to try to get to another location. We understand that for the first time, some of the flames have spread south of Foothill Boulevard. We're going to get down there, try to bring you more of this firefight, and we'll have another update coming to you soon. For now, reporting live in Ventura, I'm John Finolio. I'll send you back to the studio.
Okay, John, we appreciate that. Again, John, around north of Foothill area, up from Skyline Road, and he had mentioned Kona was talking about north now of Foothill, or south of Foothill, I should say, homes are now burning. Earlier this morning, we got a look at the scope of the devastation from these fires. It really is remarkable. The Thomas Fire, 45,000 acres have burned. Many homes have gone up in flames as you look at that devastation from earlier today. This was the scene from Sky 5. This was about 6:30 this morning near Foothill Road in Ventura. You can see dozens of structures completely engulfed throughout the community, many of them burning down to their foundations. These homes, they were evacuated earlier today, and all the roads in that area have since been closed. But it is just remarkable. And then when we look at a live picture here, Sky 5, Mark Kona overhead. Mark, we know you were around the Beckford-Heidelberg area. This is south of Foothill. You're really close to Ventura College. Tell us what we're looking at here. I don't think we have Mark able to talk to us at this moment.
It's going
to
be Foothill right at about Cobblestone Drive where this one fire, where this one home has been burning for the better part of, 30, 45 minutes at this point. Adjacent houses off to the west, in other words, to the left of that home, also on fire. You can see the severity of the wind here, just blowing the smoke, blowing the embers, blowing the wind just from right to left. In other words, towards the ocean from Santa Paula here. So you can see the intensity with which this wind is still blowing, and it is just ferocious here. This is, again, that street going from left to right, that is going to be Foothill Road, and Foothill Road, where most of the homes that were lost were on the north side, in other words, the top side of Foothill Road. Now we have a neighborhood south of Foothill Road that is now under siege from this fire here again. And we were talking about Beckford right at Heidelberg, where this neighborhood really is kind of a smoky mess at this point, where you can hang on just a moment again.
CB5, I've got that. All right, we're as Mark talks to folks
here,
okay, traffic control, you can we'll continue to I believe we've got you back, Mark.
Yeah, we do, Frank, and sorry about that. Just a couple of aircraft here that are flying in the neighborhood, and we're talking to approach, and they are giving us traffic advisories as they can here. So this is going to be what we are able to see of this particular neighborhood, again, south of Foothill Road. This smoke is starting to shift a little bit to the south and a little bit to the east here. So that's why we're getting a lot of that smoke encroaching upon our position here over towards the 126. We're not getting a clean shot at that neighborhood, and in fact, we're not getting a clean shot at Foothill Road anymore because of the shift in the wind here. So that could be a dangerous situation. If this wind does in fact move to the south, it could endanger or put more of those homes south of Foothill Road in danger. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that. But at this point, it looks like that one particular section, that one neighborhood near Beckford and Heidelberg, that is the stretch of homes south of Foothill Road that is really having a hard time with the fire and the embers that are kind of overrunning those particular homes here, guys.
Okay. Mark, again, giving us a vantage point there from the sky of what it looks like in that area south of Foothill around Beckford and Heidelberg, where, you know, this is now the new front lines, if you will, compared to where it was earlier this morning when everything was happening north of Foothill. So now we're seeing fire crews having to spread out a little bit to stay ahead of this.
It's just heartbreaking because in these densely populated areas where the homes are right next to each other. With this wind condition, it is so difficult for these firefighters to keep up. One firefighter told one of our reporters in the field earlier that it's like whack-a-mole. As they are able to sort of attack one fire, another one erupts just a few streets away, and then they're having to jump to that one or even go back to one that they thought they had knocked down. They have to make these assessments, and it's heartbreaking if it's your house that's on fire and you see fire engines racing by it. You think, why can't you stop and help me or help save my house? They make the assessment, and if they can't save it or they have to go to another one to save three homes, then they may have to sacrifice your home. And it is certainly heartbreaking, but they know how to fight fires. They know the science of these fires. They know where it's going to hopscotch to next. Although, with the wind conditions, that is difficult as well to assess because where they think it's going, suddenly an ember flies in the other direction, and then they're moving to that. So, this neighborhood, which I suspect folks thought, okay, we're okay here, we can see they're not.
Yeah, and we hope, and it's hard to tell. You don't see a whole lot in the way of people scrambling around. You do see fire crews, and we hope this is an area that did have the evacuation orders already set and heeded that warning. And as we've seen throughout the morning, there's been people that have waited or delayed it a bit, and they kind of get caught up in the way with fire trucks and hoses, and it really does cause an issue when it comes to fighting this fire. And then just a few blocks away, it's almost life as usual. You see an intersection where people are coming to a stop, and there are stores nearby. So that's how this is such a dynamic situation, that it changes so quickly. One neighborhood it's a normal day, and then all of a sudden things change, and they change drastically, dramatically.
We woke up this morning to an acreage of I believe it was I don't want to say not much, but it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,500 acres. Quickly jumped to 31,000 acres, and now we're at 45,000 plus. And I don't think that even accounts for these sorts of, for lack of a better term, spot fires where you have embers jumping ahead and then burning an acre here or an acre here, a house here or a house there. And each one of them, as I've said repeatedly this morning, is someone's life. It's not just a house. Yes, folks have evacuated, but their, you know, families have been raised in these homes. And I know people are watching these pictures right now and feeling that, and we feel for them.
Yeah, Elizabeth Espinosa was talking to a family. They have a four-year-old, their Christmas tree's up, and the father said, the last thing I want to do is to have to explain to my son what happened, you know, to the Christmas tree and to our home. And they even talked about how neighbors come together in a situation like this where their neighbors watch their home overnight. They had to evacuate, and they did because they have a small child, and they didn't want to stay behind. And they know that their neighbor, you know, had their back and was watching their home overnight, which is an incredible thing. We've seen story after story where, you know, one man was bringing water to the firefighters in his neighborhood because his house was okay, and he was trying to do what he could in a time that was incredibly stressful for him.
The early numbers that we had on this Thomas Fire in Ventura County, 150 structures lost and 27,000 people evacuated. I don't know what that number is now, but it's going to be well over 150 structures lost, and many of those are going to be homes. You know, we've talked about over the past couple of months what happened up in Santa Rosa and how the fire burned through neighborhoods where people live, and we hoped that would not happen here, and now it has. These are areas where it's densely populated. As you say, life going on as normal in one part of that neighborhood, and then you look just a few blocks away, and an entire home has burned. So that is where we are in Ventura County right now. Other fires are burning in L.A. County. We know Santa Clarita, there is a fire burning. And we also want to bring you up to speed on the other major fire burning in Los Angeles in the Sylmar area. It's known as the Creek Fire. It has charred at least 4,000 acres. A number of homes have burned in this area as well. 2,500 homes have been evacuated. L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti announced an expanded evacuation area north of Foothill Boulevard between Glen Oaks Boulevard and the La Crescenta border. One resident we talked to became emotional when he was describing the situation.
We're very blessed our home is still safe, but the firemen, they're American people doing their work, and my minimum that I can do is just to provide them with some water. So I thank you for all of you to be here, and we are blessed. There are my neighbors. Their homes are caught on fire.
It's very difficult for you, I can tell. And you were able to get your neighbors out, you told me earlier.
Yes, ma'am. I was able to get my neighbors across.
That gentleman speaking to our Aaron Myers there, the strong winds are driving the fire, obviously. No containment in sight for any of these fires. Firefighters are just having a really tough time staying ahead of flames.
In L.A. County, that Creek Fire, as we were mentioning, burning out of control, more than 4,000 acres. No containment in sight. Aaron Myers is there with an update for us. Aaron.
Hey, good morning, Jess. We're here in a neighborhood in Sylmar. This is the 13,600 block of Gavina and then Via Santa Barbara. Now, this is a new home in this area that has caught fire. Firefighters have been working on it for quite some time. And a resident told me that the homeowners literally just bought this house a few months ago. The entire back of it is now gone. Just a devastating situation here. We were actually further down the street here, and fire crews asked us to leave because it was getting so bad. We were told that the fire hydrants weren't working, so they were running out of water. They had to bring in more fire engines. They switched some trucks out. They have gotten water again, but definitely dealing with some very difficult situations out here. The wind is still causing problems, and you can see with this house here, this one is burnt, and then the one right next to it is okay, and then on the other side of that one has caught fire as well. Now, we don't know exactly how many structures have been damaged, but we heard about a dozen in this area were burning, and then I do know as well, a report came out that in the lower Cagle Canyon area, about 10 to 15 homes have been damaged or lost, and I did speak to one firefighter who told me that they do believe a few horses have been lost as well. As of now, for injuries with civilians, there are no reports of injuries. One firefighter was transported to a hospital, though. But we did hear there is a possibility that people were trapped. We have not heard any more information on that just yet. The firefighters have been busy, busy, busy. We've tried to stay out of their way as much as possible. Obviously, they have such a hard job to do today, and they are doing it as best as they can under these conditions without having the water that they needed. With this wind, it's just been one thing after the other. We haven't seen residents in a while. Most people have seemed to have gotten out. They have listened as this is a mandatory evacuation zone. But you can just see the devastation here in this neighborhood, and it's not letting up anytime soon. Once again, though, if you do live around here, the best thing you can do is just to get out, keep yourself safe. In Sylmar, I'm Erin Myers. I will send it back to you for now.
Aaron giving us an update here on the Creek Fire and the damage that we're seeing from that in the Sylmar area. Aaron, thank you for that. Now to Elizabeth, that's covering the Thomas Fire. Go ahead, Elizabeth, in Ventura.
Yeah, no, listen, we're at Skyview Terrace Lane, just north of Foothill and north side of the 126 freeway to give you some of perspective. Just saw a cat run by, but see this little hot spot right there? I mean, they're everywhere. Now, because we're kind of up on the hillside, I can tell you, I can see how this decimated the neighborhood. Look at this home right here. Just completely gone. So lost. Everything burned. Be careful there. You got some branches there. Oh, careful. Tom McDonald, I got to somewhat guide you here because there's a lot of this. The wind is really, really strong. And I could see how there was no chance for these homes. And firefighters, to do what we saw, if you were with us about half hour ago, also got into a fire in Manhattan Beach. And I think it was Redondo as well, that... we're able to provide structure protection to the home next door to the home that when we first showed up was just engulfed in flames, and it was terrible. But look at this. And Frank, you were saying each home is a story. Absolutely. I mean, look at this. A basketball court right there. You see that? Then I was trying to evaluate this home, which had a beautiful view. And you see there's a stationary, Tom, a doll my photographer, we can show you the stationary bike over there. It looks like that was a garage. There's a story. You know, and it really does. You pause, there's a reporter covering the story, then you think, wow, what if this would happen in my neighborhood? You would walk through and understand the stories of your neighbors and, you know, who lived there. And it's emotional and it's really difficult. Of course, I don't know these stories. My first time in this neighborhood, but I can say this, the wind definitely was not going to give this neighborhood a chance. It's hard to even hear you because the wind is blowing in my ear. Now it's calmed down right now, and the gust will come through about 60 to 70, up to 80 miles per hour. It's about 66 degrees right now, but it's still very chilly, very cold. Look at this. I think something else is burning. A little concerned that we could make our way out of this neighborhood. Because if the fire, you know, blocks the entire street, so we'll have to figure this out. But you've got some fire engines down in the neighborhood as well, trying to contain as much as possible. But as you heard the interview we had with an engineer from El Segundo, when I asked, well, what do you do with some of these homes when you pass by them and they're up in flames? You would think that it would stop immediately and start covering it with water. He said, well, what if they understand the science behind all the behavior patterns of the wind and the fire? And also they have to be strategic in that if the fire starts or it's in the attic, then at that point, it's not a regular house fire situation we're dealing with. They have to, you know, figure out a place and a space to fight fire so it doesn't spread because you've got a lot of fuel. You've got a lot of brush. You've got orchards in the area. In fact, if you see here, I don't know if you can see this shot, but that's like, what are those, oranges? These are oranges, orange trees, lemon trees.
And a lot of avocado trees in County as well. And it was amazing. For the first time,
Santa Paula fire.
As we've been covering these fires, through your microphone, we really could hear that wind.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, right? We know that it's buffeting you. We could actually hear the wind through your microphone there.
Through my microphone, right? It's pretty bad. And so I think, boy, there's no way that you'd be able to even create some kind of a space because a lot of times what I've seen covering these fires is that there's a wall, say the house next door is engulfed. They'll try to fight the fire from the side of the wall so they have some kind of protection, right, for firefighters. If we're in one injury, hopefully that's going to be the end of that, or maybe at least I think it was two at this point with that, those are that rolled. But unfortunately, as I look into the distance, I'm not very optimistic. I mean, I see so much smoke. I see a lot of black smoke. Tom McDonald, can you walk with me here? Sorry, just be careful here. Be careful. There you go. We're going to walk down here really quick and show you that house is still up, but the house next door is gone, and there is a little hot spot there, and those things grow real quick. I don't know if we can see over this hedge here, but, oh, yeah, here we go. Tom, can we show them that? You're tall. Yeah, you're taller than I am. Look at this, you guys. This house fully engulfed. It looks like there's some tennis courts down there. Beautiful homes, and whether they're big homes or little homes, they're stories of people's lives, as you said. People grew up in these homes, starting a family. Heartbreaking because, as someone even pointed out, one of the owners of the street said, you know, and it's Christmas time. This is when you bought your Christmas tree and you're ready to celebrate with the family, and instead you have to deal with this. There was one owner, by the way, up the street. What's here? What are we looking at?
The horse.
Oh, little horse. He's there. Up the street, there's a homeowner who was very upset, and a local paper for this area, the reporter, or a photographer, I should say, came up to me and asked and said, hey, would you like to talk to this man? He asked for a ride. He was upset. I think he lost his home. So he drove him up here, went to that house. His house decimated, just gone, like I'm showing you here, right? Just like this. And he was incredibly upset. When we rolled up to him and tried to speak to him, understandably, he wanted to throw a rock at us. And I understand. You know, you don't know how you're going to react in this situation. You really don't. It's emotional. It's difficult. You just lost everything. And there are a lot of things you can't just put back together.
The other thing, folks, is at this point, they're not reporting anything new. I don't even know what the hell they would allow these reporters up on the fire trail in the first place. They're getting in the way. So one of the reasons why I'm covering this is because the media just don't get it. If you're giving the public probative information is one thing, but going around in the fire zone where there is limited traffic and access and basically covering the misery is not actually helpful at this point to the people who lost their homes. Every channel is caught up with this. I started looking at this when it was 2,500 acres at 4 this morning. Now it's 45,000 acres. It started with 150 homes around 4 this morning. It's got to be at least 300 now and growing. I have yet to hear substantive information that sends people to the local shelters and those resources. All they're doing is covering the drama.
That these embers bring to homeowners that are, you know, way out of the limits of where the fire zone is.
And Anthony was saying this could go well into Friday. In fact, Storm Ranger 4 is live in Ventura tracking both smoke and the wind. So let's go ahead and bring in meteorologist Anthony Annis with an update on the conditions on those fire lines. Anthony.
Yeah, hey, Michelle, I want to show you what we're seeing right now. And, of course, we will start with our live Doppler network to show you as we sweep around Southern California the three different fires that we're tracking right now. Again, you got one, you've got two, and then you have the Thomas fire here. First of all, I want you to notice the difference in intensity with all of these. I'm going to talk much more about that in a second, but we did send out our storm ranger right into the heart of the fire, and so we're getting a little bit better detail of the smoke here. So again, what our radar is looking at, it's not looking at fire. What it's looking at is at the smoke from the fire. And so you've got the Creek fire, about 1,000 acres, still growing, but you see the difference in the 200-acre Rye fire. You see how thin that smoke plume is, and you compare that to the 45,000-acre Thomas fire and how vast, how large, and how much more intense this is. But again, this one's just starting, and so pretty incredible the view you have of the different radars that you have here. What's also interesting about the Creek fire, you see how strong this was 3 hours ago? It had about a half hour to 45 minutes ago, a little weakening, not as intense with the smoke. But do you see how that's come back again in the San Fernando Valley? You're starting to see a little bit of a breakup also from the Rye fire. Okay, let's talk about the Thomas fire. Patrick Healy was just there and was reporting on the lighter winds. And so good news with that, because that means air support's going to be able to get in. So you see calm winds, gusts at 5 in Santa Paula, Ojai, calm winds, gusts at 13. So this is all good news right now. Ventura, still pretty gusty, though. 14-mile-per-hour winds, gusts at 25, and the humidity, 10 to 11%. Your wind forecast, it's going to be light for the rest of the day from Ojai, a little bit off to the east, out to Oxnard. Still pretty gusty to the west of this storm. Off to the east. As we move toward tonight, it picks up a little bit in Simi Valley, after Thousand Oaks and Camarillo. But in general, Ojai and Oxnard at this time, now you start to see the winds get a little bit stronger. So a little bit of a break this afternoon, and then a break as we move toward Wednesday morning. So that's great news for this 45,000-acre fire. But you still see, as you move off to the east of this, how intense this is. Another view you can see behind me of one of the homes that caught on fire. Wednesday afternoon, more good news for this 45,000-acre fire. It's calm, Simi Valley, 22-mile-per-hour winds. However, and this is what Michelle's been mentioning, we get a break here and there over the next couple of days, but as we move toward Thursday, look at what's back. You have the 50-mile-per-hour gust back in Camarillo. Oxnard now back to 45, 48 in Ojai. So the firefighters have to do as much as they can today and tomorrow when there are some openings, because as we move toward Thursday, and I put this out the rest of the day Thursday, it would still show a real big intensity. Here are the two fires we're showing here in the San Fernando Valley and also Santa Clarita. I want to get your current conditions of what we're seeing because the winds are still very strong. Look at Little Tahunga, 46 mile per hour gusts from the Santa Ana wind. You have Sylmar gusts at 31 miles per hour. The humidity 10 to 12% out ahead of this. Here's Granada Hills and also with the gusts. So the gusts in this area are much stronger than what we're seeing in the Thomas Fire. You move up to the north, also pretty gusty. Del Valle at a 38 mile per hour gust. Consistent winds in Santa Clarita, 18 miles per hour. The humidity 10 to 11%. So for all of us, that humidity range is 10 to 11%. And Kim was mentioning, when was the last time we had a fire here where it's been this chilly? It's cold outside in the mid to upper 50s. I'm going to end with this, your wind forecast for this area. Look at the consistency as we move throughout the rest of the day into tomorrow morning as we move toward Wednesday afternoon. There's just no break whatsoever. You have 20 to 35, 36 mile per hour gusts. But as we move toward Wednesday night into Thursday morning, that intense Santa Ana wind with getting close to 50 mile per hour winds is coming back in this area. So it's going to be tough. It's a tough forecast. It's going to be a tough couple of days. And I think next time what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you Friday's forecast to show you how the winds really are not weakening. Back to you.
Anthony, thank you for that update. We want to get back to the Creek Fire that's been impacting the 210, closed in both directions. We know we have a viewer on the line now with us, Jose Anguiano. He shot his cell phone video. Jose, thanks for joining us. This was in Sylmar. As you were trying to put out the flames in your neighborhood, tell us about that.
Yes, me and some other neighbors, we ran up the hill, and we started putting out spot fires wherever we couldn't find them. As soon as they would cross the street, the wind and the embers were just blowing so hard, spot fires and trees were just lighting on fire. So we were just running around, connecting the hoses, just turning them out. And then after that, we just started driving around, looking through in middle of people's houses, finding spot fires in the middle of houses. So we were turning them out right there. So the neighbors, they did a great job. They did a great job standing by and helping each other out.
I can only imagine, Jose, that you were kept on your toes with these wind gusts, these wind speeds. You're working on one, all of a sudden you see another one pop up.
Oh, yes, yes. It was very disheartening. Now I know what the firefighters go through because you turn it off and then just everything comes back fire, or you check on one house and then you come back and it's on fire and it's just like, wow, you know. So, yeah, very, very.
How much time did you spend in these neighborhoods, Jose, and did you make any progress?
Definitely. We saved, I can say, at least 5 to 6 houses that we saved. I started monitoring the fire about 3:50 going up the street because I already knew from the last fire we had 8 years ago with the embers and how they would catch the side of our street on fire and the houses. And so I already knew. So I already had a plan just going up there and making sure, you know, those didn't turn off and just grabbing other neighbors in the neighborhood that didn't evacuate and just putting out as many as all we could.
All right, Jose, one of the vigilantes here, a volunteer firefighter, is doing what he can to help his neighbors, saving 5 to 6 homes. Jose, thank you for sharing that story. We're hearing a lot of stories like this of communities coming together. We have 2 News Chopper 4s covering these fires for you. We want to go back to Megan Reyes, who is live over the Thomas Fire in Ventura. This is a near Foothill and Cobblestone, yet another home.
Wow, Megan.
Up in flames, a big one here, Megan.
Yeah, it's just horrible seeing these homes catch fire, and this entire neighborhood has already been inundated. And again, I apologize. Sometimes you'll get a clear picture, and then other times the smoke will blow through the shot and makes it extremely hazy like this. But I think this home already caught fire. These 3 homes, this is Foothill Road and Cobblestone Street. So that's where this particular area is. I think I can see Kayla Street a little more smoother. About a half a mile to the north, this is the neighborhood where we had a home burning here. In fact, several homes were burning just not too long ago. Firefighters are on scene right now. What I'm going to show you is the complete devastation of this entire neighborhood. Home after home, all you see is just the burnt rubble and the foundation, really nothing left. So there are still some homes burning in this particular area, but because of the smoke right now, it's pretty hard to see. Half a mile to the southwest is where we have another spot fire. We're or at least six homes are up in flames right now. This is right off of Beckford Street, as we've been talking about earlier. You can see this home, three of these homes right here along the street, completely destroyed. Firefighters are doing structure protection. You won't see any firefighters to the right because the winds are coming out. We got one guy here just in case. But most of the firefighters are setting downwind to the fire. You can see they're concentrating their efforts along this street here, making sure none of the embers spark another spot fire. This is Bay Road. This is Beckford Street and Bay Road. So that's where we have a lot of emergency crews standing by to make sure none of these homes fall victim to this fire.
Telling us here, Megan, is the fire is miles away. You've been showing us about three homes, which has now been to five, six homes, and now an additional home on fire in this neighborhood near the Foothill and Cobblestone area.
Yeah, it's just amazing how far spread out it is from where the fire originated. Obviously, it started off in Santa Paula. Wind-driven fire quickly fueled all that dry brush fueled that fire. But right here, I mean, look, you would think this neighborhood would be safe. There's no brush in this particular neighborhood, and that's evidence of how dangerous these fires are, these wind-driven fires. Anything can happen. Those embers can travel for several miles, spark a fire, and then that fire can have kind of a domino effect, can start another fire. So that's what we're seeing in these neighborhoods here. These homes, I'm not sure if they were under any type of evacuations this morning. Unfortunately, a lot of these homes in this particular area have already been burned, and if they haven't, some of them are falling victim now to this fire as it is rapidly spreading westbound heading towards Ventura.
Yeah, and, you know, these embers don't strategically pick and choose. I mean, we saw there just in the middle of a, you know, densely populated neighborhood, three homes catching fire. Megan now says possibly up to six homes, and again, the homes around those homes are safe and in the clear, at least for now.
And this is exactly why the governor has declared a state of emergency in Ventura County, as we are seeing more homes go up in flames by the minutes here. News Check 4 over this one here. Again, wow, Brownlee, this is like six homes, and like she said, miles from where the fire originated in Santa Paula.
Megan, you know, I'm looking at some trees there, and I'm trying to assess whether or not, you know, we're talking about, you know, high winds out there. Can you sort of, you know, characterize or illustrate for us of what the wind conditions are like right now?
Yeah, I can definitely tell you from my experience up here, the winds are wicked. That's how I'm referring to it. It's tough. Coming out here was a challenge. I'm not a fan of flying in the winds, and we've been rocked around a lot. So if it's that bad up here, that's also another reason why we're not seeing some of the fixed wings. It's just too dangerous. The winds are creating safety issues for those firefighters. And it also shows the tremendous effort the firefighters are doing, the water-dropping helicopters. Those guys are able to get into the thick of things and actually still continue to work despite the elements. I want to show you another neighborhood here as we are talking because the winds are opening up this particular neighborhood so you can see the complete devastation of the homes. It's just jaw-dropping, realizing some of these neighborhoods are obliterated. I mean, you look at this one homeowner right here, you come home and you're thankful you have a home left, but there's also a little bit of guilt because look at your neighbors. The entire neighborhood has just been destroyed. And what saved your home? The grace of God, that something saved that one particular home in that area. But just spot fire after spot fire. You can look right here. All these homes right here in this neighborhood have been destroyed. This is right off of Knob Hill Lane. And you can see home after home, everything is gone. But this one particular home, somebody was looking out for them.
Oh, wow. Such desperation by those folks just wanting any type of help. Thank you so much. News Chopper Ford covering the Thomas Fire in Ventura County. Megan Reyes, as you see on the right side of your screen. And now Gil Labus is on the left with another home on fire. Gil, not again.
Not again. Look at this. It's fully engulfed. It's going to be a complete loss. You see firefighters down there trying to do their best to get control of this fire. This is off of Foothill. We're really close to where Megan is, just to the east of her. This is a foothill near via Ondulando, in Ventura. You can see the fire just burning there right in the middle of a block of homes. So, again, the fire just skipping around and getting into the eaves of this house and catching it fully engulfed in flames right now. And, again, the fire crews trying to do their best. You can see, actually, in this backyard here, they're doing structure protection group on this house with the solar panels. You can see a firefighter there trying to put down some of that fire, but it looks like it got into an out structure right here in the center of your screen, and then now the fire engine putting water from its water cannon as much as it can do to protect the homes in the area, try to knock down that flame as much as possible. But it looks like that home right there is going to be a complete loss as it spreads through that structure in the attic space and then threatening the homes all around it.
And you said Foothill and Onduwondo?
Yeah, it's Via Onduwondo. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. It's just north of Foothill Road off of, just west of Kimball Road, I believe it is.
Yeah. And not far from where.
Not far from where Megan is here right now, but we see that fire unit there again dousing those flames there with from a distance there with that hose. Or any other fire crews there, because in Megan's neighborhood there or at Foothill and Cobblestone, we saw structure protection here. Makes you wonder why they're choosing to, mm-hmm. to at least sort of put the flames out on this one. Are they tending to areas and homes and surrounding neighborhoods there, Gil?
Yeah, definitely saw a fire engine driving up this street here to the right, and I didn't see where he went, but you can see some of the devastation in this neighborhood just north of that. The house is on fire. Look at these house after house burned straight to the ground. In fact, as I pan up the street here, you can see the devastation on that neighborhood. So yet another fire in one of the homes here just south of those homes that have burned, and the fire crews trying to put it out, probably because there's so many trees and so much brush around this particular house, they don't want it to spread and get into some of those other homes. So that's, I think, why they're battling this house fire here, even though it looks like it's going to be a complete loss.
It's so hard to watch, and many in desperation looking at the news choppers that Megan alluded to. Yes, or they're flying, but yet not seeing the fixed aircraft flying because of the winds and making those decisions and why they save some homes and protect others. We don't know, but trust that they know what they're doing.
Right, and Gil, we were able with your other shot there just to see how the fire hopscotches and leapfrogs. Two homes burned to the left of one home that's still standing, and the one to the right of it there, a total loss as well. So, there's no strategy to this whatsoever, which is why firefighters are kept on their toes, and it's devastation for everyone around. That is the house I was talking about in particular there. So, again, at least one or two homes on the right gone, some behind it gone, and two to the left of it gone as well. All right, Megan Reyes. Gil, thanks for those live pictures.
Thank you,
Megan Reyes, live over the Thomas Fire, again, in Ventura County there. And
okay.
Megan, so we saw the devastation there. Gil's not too far from where your location is.
Yeah, we're in a different location here. I wanted to show you earlier. This was the home we were filming earlier. This was Foothill and Cobblestone Drive. These were the three homes that we were filming. Sadly, these three homes are pretty much on fire. In fact, this one, I think, hasn't caught fire. But look, this is a new one. This one just caught fire here. This is on Cobblestone Drive. It's a little to the north of the location, north of Foothill Boulevard. And Michael and Michelle, a few minutes ago, this home was not on fire. So it just shows how quickly the situation can change. The wind-driven fire, those embers are just sparking homes on fire one after another. The entire neighborhood here is just destroyed with fire.
Sky was partly cloudy with haze. Visibility was 6 miles. The wind was east at 5 knots. Waves were 1 foot at 12 seconds with sets to 3 feet. Swell direction was from the west. Sea temperature was 62. Air temperature was 63. At Cabrillo Beach, sky was partly cloudy with haze. Visibility was 6 miles. The wind was northeast at 10 knots. Waves were 1 foot at 12 seconds with sets to 2 feet. Swell direction was from the west. Sea temperature was 60. Air temperature was 67. You're listening to NOAA Weather Radio Station KWO37, broadcasting on a frequency of 162.55 megahertz. The station is operated by the National Weather Service in Oxnard, California, and transmits from a tower on Mount Lucas in the San Gabriel Mountains. This broadcast is also relayed to a transmitter near Sandburg on a frequency of 162.425 megahertz. Potential for damaging Santa Ana winds to return to portions of Los Angeles and Ventura counties late Wednesday night into Thursday. The strong and damaging Santa Ana winds that will impact Southwest California today are expected to diminish some tonight into Wednesday. By late Wednesday night and Thursday, surface high pressure will re-strengthen over the Great Basin, producing a strong offshore flow pattern across Southern California. In addition, upper-level winds will strengthen during this period, bringing the potential for strong and damaging winds to return to portions of Los Angeles and Ventura counties, which could result in the expansion of high wind watches and warnings as we draw closer to the event. Coastal and valley areas in Los Angeles and Ventura counties could see damaging wind gusts in the 50 to 60 miles an hour range from late Wednesday night into Thursday, with mountain areas seeing damaging gusts in the 60 to 80 miles an hour range. Winds this strong will be capable of producing downed trees and power lines, blowing dust and debris, and power outages. Very critical fire weather conditions are expected during this period, with red flag warnings remaining in effect through Thursday. Any fire ignitions will have a likelihood of very fire rapid fire spread. Please monitor the latest National Weather Service forecasts and warnings as this dangerous wind event continues to unfold. This is a marine weather statement for the following inner waters from Point Mugus to San Mateo Point, California, including Santa Catalina and Santa Barbara Islands. Hazardous conditions possible for Avalon and Two Harbors through tonight. Gusty northeast winds and choppy seas have developed over the coastal waters southeast of Point Conception and will continue through tonight. Wind gusts up to 35 knots are possible. These winds will especially affect nearshore areas from Ventura to Santa Monica, including Santa Cruz and Anacapa Islands. These winds will also move through the San Pedro Channel and impact most of the unprotected front side of Catalina Island, including Avalon and Two Harbors. The winds will create steep, choppy wind waves with northeast short period swell building up to 5 feet. The northeast swell and wind waves will likely impact Avalon and Two Harbors, with the worst conditions expected overnight and today. Another burst of strong winds and choppy seas is possible Thursday morning. This is a potential hazardous situation for Avalon and Two Harbors. Improperly anchored or moored vessels may become loose and damaged, and may cause damage to other vessels in the vicinity. Here is the latest weather synopsis. Strong offshore winds have developed across much of Ventura and Los Angeles counties and will continue through Friday. Winds will be strongest through this afternoon and again late Wednesday night through Thursday, with damaging wind gusts expected in some areas. The forecast for the Los Angeles County coast, including downtown Los Angeles, today, sunny. Highs in the lower to mid-70s. Areas of north to northeast winds 20 to 30 miles an hour with gusts to 45 miles an hour below passes and canyons from Malibu to the Hollywood Hills, diminishing to 15 to 25 miles an hour late in the day. Tonight, clear. Lows in the mid-40s to mid-50s. Areas of north to northeast winds 15 to 25 miles an hour with gusts to 30 miles an hour below passes and canyons from Malibu to the Hollywood Hills. Wednesday, sunny. Highs around 80. Areas of north to northeast winds 15 to 25 miles an hour with gusts to 30 miles an hour below passes and canyons from Malibu to the Hollywood Hills. Wednesday night, clear. Lows in the mid-40s to lower 50s. Areas of north to northeast winds 15 to 25 miles an hour with gusts to 30 miles an hour below passes and canyons from Malibu to the Hollywood Hills, increasing to 20 to 30 miles an hour with gusts to 45 miles an hour late. Thursday, sunny. Highs around 80. Areas of north to northeast winds 20 to 30 miles an hour with gusts to 45 miles an hour below passes and canyons from Malibu to the Hollywood Hills, diminishing to 15 to 25 miles an hour late in the day. Thursday night, mostly clear. Lows in the upper 40s to mid 50s. Friday, sunny. Highs around 80. Friday night, mostly clear. Lows in the upper 40s to mid 50s. Saturday, sunny. Highs in the 70s to lower 80s. Saturday night, mostly clear. Lows in the lower to mid 50s. Sunday, sunny. Highs in the mid 70s to lower 80s. Sunday night, mostly clear. Lows in the lower to mid 50s. Monday, sunny. Highs in the 70s to lower 80s. At 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, on Tuesday, December 5th, these were the conditions around Southern California.